She was a beautiful woman. Beautiful in face, and I'm sure beautiful in body. So beautiful, she was desired by men. If she were around them for very much, she was very desirable. Evidently had a very beautiful and pleasant personality, sparkling personality, easy to talk to, gracious in her mannerisms, very pleasing. Married to a very fine man who loved her. But like most women of that day, you know, she wanted to have a child. She would have loved to have children. She was around her brother-in-law, sister-in-law, friends and relatives. They're all having children. She didn't have any. Month after month, in her cycle, she waited. She wanted. And both she and her husband would have loved to have children because she was a beautiful woman. I'm sure he was a very good-looking man. They would have had a beautiful child. But month after month, and the months turned into years, and the years turned into decades. And after a while, there was no monthly cycle. And after a while, all hope of having a child was gone. Passing into her 50s and 60s, and then into her, close into her 70s. But before she got into her 70s, her husband was told he was going to have a child. She just couldn't believe it. So, you know, how could we do this? She offered her handmaid at one point. Yeah, she was so beautiful, but she was barren. And you know, some of the very first words we read about Sarah, who was then called Sarai, an old form of Sarah, which meant princess. That's how beautiful she was. I guess she was beautiful as a child, and they named her princess. The very first words some of the very first words after we're told that she was the, sister-in-law and daughter-in-law of Terah, it reads like this in Genesis 11, verse 30. Sarai was barren. She had no child. And she stayed barren throughout those times. But because of her beauty and her desirability, on two occasions, Sarah was put in the position to commit adultery in order to save her husband's life. Abraham made her do it. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, dropping down to verse 14, when they were down in close to Egypt, when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was very a beautiful woman. I'm reading this from the New International Version. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. Hey, you ought to see this woman. And so when Pharaoh's officials, they praised her, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. Oh, you're her brother? Okay, you know, come on in. Boy, yeah, I love your family. Boy, your sister's gorgeous. And Abraham acquired sheep and cattle because of her. They got a lot of favors. Yeah, I'd like to buy that one. I'd like to buy that one. We'd get this one. These are really good breeds. He got male and female donkeys. He got men servants and maid servants and camels. They traded very well, give him a very good bargain. Oh, this is a beautiful woman. We're probably going to take it. Pharaoh made special provisions. But the Eternal inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and on his household because of Abram's wife, Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. I guess all his acquired stuff from Egypt, he left. That's Genesis chapter 12, dropping from 14 to 20. Now in chapter 20, here again. Early the next morning, Abimelech thinks she's his sister. And he tells, you're going to say, I'm your brother. You know, don't say you're my wife. And so Abimelech takes her, and look what happens. I'm reading now Genesis 20, dropping down to verse 8. Early in the morning, Abimelech summoned his officials, all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very afraid. Then Abimelech called Abram and said to him, "What have you done to us? What have you done? How have I wronged you that you brought such great guilt upon me?" You know, it was God who stepped in. Abram said, he's my sister. And he knew these people were going to try to take her as a wife. And it was God who stepped in and said, "You better not touch her. You better not lay a hand on her or in any way approach her, or I'm going to kill you." That's what he said to Abimelech. "How have I wronged you that you brought this great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done," Abimelech says to Abram. Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this? Why would you do this?" Abraham replied, he said, "I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place. I didn't think you people feared God. And they will kill me because of my wife. She's so gorgeous. She's so beautiful. And they'll want her. Besides, she really is my sister," Abraham says. "She's the daughter of my father, though not of my mother." So she was a half-sister to Abraham. She was the daughter of his father, but not of his mother. "She became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show me favors. This is how you show your love to me. Everywhere we go, you say, he's my brother.'" I'm going to ask you, who's this guy traveling? You say, he's my brother. Abraham was afraid. So this great man of faith was a little bit fearful after being called out and leaving his place and going places, traveling through these countries. And this is, I don't know about you, but this is what it reads in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she was considered him faithful who had promised." Now, this is Hebrews, okay? Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy here in the passage. There are many Greek manuscripts, and so many different manuscripts have little different things about words. And so I'm going to show you some of the different ways the translations have it. This is the Common English Bible. "By faith, Sarah received the ability to have child, though she was barren and past the age for having children, because she believed that the one who had promised was faithful." This is the complete Jewish Bible. "By trusting, he received potency to father a child." Now, there's a different manuscripts have a little bit different take, and some of these words can mean you have strength to conceive, to receive the seed, but many translations say it's Abraham had the potency to father a child. Let's go to the Christian Standard Bible. "By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age." Now, the reason that most translations focus on Sarah being the one who to receive and to get and to conceive the child is because this whole passage was about Sarah. This whole passage is here about Sarah. So we have this: "By faith, Sarah herself." Now, there's a Greek word after it says Sarah. The next Greek word is autos. Sarah autos, meaning herself. We get the word auto, anything that's automatic means self doing it. If it comes on automatically, that means you don't have to manually do it. It comes by itself. An automobile is self-driven. In other words, it moves itself. It's all these things have to do with auto. So it's Sarah, autos, herself, conceived, had the ability to conceive. So let's read from the Jewish, the Christian Standard. It says, but the New English Translation takes the other. By faith, even though Sarah herself was barren, he was too old, he received the ability to procreate. You see how that goes? So here's the words can be translated just a little bit differently, and so it's almost a toss-up. But I tend to favor the fact that Sarah, as the wife, was able to conceive. That she, by faith, she did this. Now, I don't know about you, but are you surprised that Sarah would be listed here in the chapter 11 among the people of faith? We'll talk about that in a minute. She is one of only two women named here. Okay? Only two women in the book of, in the chapter 11 of Hebrews are named. One is Sarah, and guess who the other is? Rahab. Rahab, the harlot. Sarah and Rahab are both named. Now, the Bible in Hebrews 11 refers to women. There are other women. It just uses the word women, and you'll see it in chapter 11 and verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, others, you know, not accepting release. It does refer to women, but only two were named, Sarah and Rahab. So, here is the McDonald idiomatic translation. Chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself, barren and postmenopausal, received reproductive strength to process seed because she considered him faithful who was promised. Here's the Murdoch translation. It goes like this. By faith, Sarah also, who was barren, acquired energy to receive seed and out of the time of her years, she brought forth because she firmly believed that he was faithful who had promised. And then here is the Bible in basic English. And by faith, Sarah herself had power to give birth when she was very old because she had faith in him who had given this word. Okay? Here's Sarah. Sarah, through faith herself, it was. In the Bible, in chapter 11, is herself had the faith. She herself had this faith. Now, this faith was a practical faith. You know, there are all kinds of faiths. You have a faith to do this. She had a faith that I want to have a child. I have faith that I'm going to be able to have this child. Now, again, if you're like me, you may be surprised. I'm surprised that she's listed here. Why am I surprised that she's listed here? Well, I read the Old Testament. I read it, and I understand. She didn't seem to have faith. She seemed to have a lot of doubts. Let's read this passage here in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Here's, now, over the years, she'd been saying, you know, Abraham was promised. Now, before chapter 18, she had already delivered her handmaid, Hagar, concubine. He was her handmaid. No, Abram, I think God means for you to go into my handmaid and have a child by her, and we'll consider that. Well, you know, we'll adopt that. It'll be our child. And God said, no, that's not what I said. I said Sarah's going to have a child. Now, that's not easy when you're getting close to 70. Okay. Not easy when you're getting close to 70. Not easy when you're getting close to 80. Not easy when you become 90. So here in Genesis chapter 18. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. That's verse 11. Genesis 18 verse 11. Advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. She laughed to herself. Because God says, you know, you're going to have a child. He'd been saying, you're going to have a child for almost 25 years since she was 65. And he was 70. He was about 10 years older than she was. So from the time he was 75 to the time he was 100, and from the time she was 65 to she was 90. So they were old. And verse 12, chapter 18, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have the pleasure of my Lord being old also? Am I going to have a baby now? At this point? And the Eternal said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too difficult for the Eternal? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied, however, saying, I didn't laugh. I wasn't laughing. And he said, this is God. This is the Eternal saying, no, but you did laugh. You did laugh. So here's a woman kind of scoffing at it. Where's the faith? Here's doubts. I'm like shocked that she's listed as the one of the faithful. By faith, Sarah received this thing. And can you blame her? Number one, she had her doubts because of her barrenness. You know, she had her doubts. Look at her. She had doubts. She had doubts because of her age. I'm way past. I mean, why didn't I have it when I was in my 30s? Now, I've known some women who had babies when they were in their 40s, late 40s even. I think one or two in their 50s. But they were still having a menstrual cycle. But my goodness, you're talking 65 when she's first told she's going to do it. And 25 years go by, she's never had one, and now she's 90, and he said, you're going to have a child. 90 years old? So her age was difficult. So, you know, that would be easy for her to doubt. It was a huge obstacle to have children, you know, and it caused Sarah at first, you know, maybe to disbelieve this promise. Not only was her age an obstacle to believe that she was going to have children, but also the age of her husband was also. I mean, he's no kid. He's 100 years old. Is he going to get the strength for me to conceive? You know, it's not age that keeps us from getting God's blessings. It's lack of faith, isn't it? Now that we see this, it's lack of faith. It's not age. Age does not keep us from getting God's blessings. And the third thing, another factor, was her disability. Even when she was young, she couldn't conceive. I mean, even when she had her menstrual cycles, even when she wanted a kid in her 20s and her 30s and her 40s, she couldn't conceive. So she, you know, I've been barren. That's the first words we see about it in Genesis 11 and verse 30. Sarah was barren and had no children. So the very first thing, you know, that appears in Scripture is that she has a disability of some sort. She can't conceive. And in those days, you know, that was almost considered punishment by God, you know. There were other women the same way. The mother of Samson, you know, couldn't conceive. And God had mercy on them. The mother of Samson, the mother of Samuel. Remember how she begged, you know, for a child? The mother of John the Baptist couldn't conceive. And all of a sudden she had a baby. Each one of them had just one kid, one son. And all three of these women who could not conceive had sons who went on to be great. Great in the eyes of the Eternal and in biblical history. So this has got to be an encouragement to women and to anyone who might at first, you know, at first she doubted. There's no doubt about that. She doubted and she lied about it. I didn't laugh. God said, ha, 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 yes, you did. You know, no, but you did laugh. You did scoff. What made her change her mind? How did she now come to be a woman of absolute faith? I'm going to conceive. I'm going to receive the seed. I'm going to have a child. After all this time, I'm going to have a child. Now, if she, you know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, remember I said there were only two women named. One was Sarah, who was doubting, who laughed, scoffed at it. And the other was Rahab. Now, if one of these two, one a very fine woman, you would say a very fine woman, right? And the other a whore, right? If they can make the annals of the people of faith that are examples for us, how about some of us? How about some of us? We could make the annals of faith. Faith is not limited to a gender. It's not limited to an age. And it's not, if you see Rahab, it's not limited to status. Here's Rahab, a woman who was a harlot, an example of faith. So at one point, Sarah was a miserable failure in faith. She doubted, she disbelieved, and she lied about it. Doubts, denials, dissimulation. But she recovered. She recovered somehow and went on to become a woman of great faith, so great that she's listed as those of those people who gained approval. They gained God's approval through faith. Sarah herself gained God's approval through what? Faith. So what does that mean to me and you? To you and me, I should say. Well, if you've failed in the past, and who hasn't failed at something, you can still find a victory in the future by faith. It is not how many times you have fallen down that determines your faith potential. It's how many times you get up and endure. You remember what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 said. You have need for endurance. You need to have endurance. Yes, you can fail. You can still live by faith and do great things for God, even though you have failed miserably in the past. And we know that because Sarah did it. Sarah did it. Oh, no, you did laugh. No, God caught me there. You think you can get away with it from God, and God caught me. Very embarrassing. But somehow she became a woman of faith. Because in chapter 11, in verse 11, it says, since she considered him faithful who promised. She recovered from her doubts. She gave God the credit. She honored God by believing in him. And faith gives God praise. Faith gives God honor. I know it's easy, and we sing hymns, we want to sing praises God, but nothing praises God like your faith in God. You say, I trust what you say, God. I trust you, Father. Nothing honors God more than that. Nothing honors God's fidelity more than that. So she considered him faithful who had promised. You must first trust the person before you can trust the promise the person makes. Right? If a guy comes up here, okay, and he wants to sell you something. You know, there's the old joke, never, never, never buy a VCR or a television set from a man who is wearing sneakers and appears to be out of breath. Okay, so you never want to do that. All right, so to believe somebody, you have to believe in the person. If somebody just comes in, oh, I promise you, I've got this, you know. If you ever see these things that come in, you know, I've got millions of dollars down in Africa, and if you'll help me with, you know, $10,000, I'll give you a cut of all these $500 million and all this stuff. You know, they're all frauds. To believe the promise, you have to believe the person. And who was the person making this promise to them? Okay? It was God. And this is what we read about our God. Lamentations chapter 3, a very famous passage. You probably have heard it many times. It goes like this. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. Great is your faithfulness. I can trust you. I can believe what you say. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, from the New American Standard Version, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Faithful is he who calls you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. God is faithful. That's how you can believe in him. You can trust him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Somehow, after the rebuke, sort of a rebuke, now God didn't get mad, you know, he's just like, you know, no, you did, you did laugh, you know. See, I didn't laugh. Ah, yes, you did, you know. No, but you did. Contradicting her, no, but you did laugh. Somehow after that, she began to trust in the faithfulness of our God, in the belief that what he said was really going to come to pass. And maybe it was the fact that he could read her mind. Maybe it was that very rebuke itself that turned her around and said, I believe it now. I believe I'm going to have a child. I believe it after all these years, after all my youth, after all my time where my cycle, my menstrual cycle was active and now no longer active. And all these years have gone by and God is still telling me I'm going to have this child. Here's Ishmael from Hagar. He's a grown man now. He's out there and still, you know, he was a young man. I guess he was not a grown man, but he was a young man by the time, you know, he's a kid, maybe a teenager. Let us hold fast our profession. He is faithful as promised. So in spite of God's record of faithfulness, we just read these scriptures. That ought to give us faith. But in spite of that, there'll be people who just can't trust God. Why is it we tend to have such a poor record of faithfulness ourselves? Because we're supposed to trust in him whose faithfulness is impeccable. God never fails his faithfulness. Where true faith is, there is a high respect for the word of God. What's your attitude to the word of God? a high respect. So the word of God is, she received what? She received power. Let's read that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 again. And she received what? She received power in verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Okay? Translated power. There's a word, it's translated ability in the New American Standard Version. But the word is from the Greek word dunamis, which means we get the word dynamis, you could say dynamis, we get the word dynamite from that. Something that's very strong. When they first invented this, they blow up rocks and everything with it. This is a lot of power in this stuff. It's dynamite. It's dunamis. Comes from the Greek word power, powerful, dunamis. So she received power from God, some kind of power in her body, some kind of strength in her body to be able to conceive. And I'm sure that Abraham also received power in his body to be able to procreate, because it takes both a man and a woman. Paul used the same word in talking about the gospel. The same word, dunamis, is translated from Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. Here's how the New American Standard Version translates that. Romans 1, dropping down to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the dunamis of God, the power of God for salvation. So she received dunamis. She received this power in her body to go ahead and have children when everything said she couldn't do it. She was barren from youth. She was now past childbearing years. I mean, it's just everything said it. And now Abraham was old. Everything was against them having a child. But somehow she managed to come up with the faith. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. The power, even beyond the proper time of life. Since, and the reason she received this power, she considered him, meaning God, faithful, who had promised. I just believed God. You know, there was a statement from Paul when they were on this ship. And everybody was worried they were going to perish. The ship was, they were headed off and toward Rome. And the ship was going back and forth and being thrown aside. And they threw things off and they kept throwing things off, lightening the ship. And Paul said, I had a dream. I had a dream. Don't everybody worry. We're all going to be safe. We're all going to be safe. An angel warned me. An angel from God warned me. And Paul's famous words, and I believe God. I believe God. I believe the word of God. A lot of mothers never have children. Many mothers could find encouragement here. Sometimes taking care of the family can become very frustrating. A mother cries out because she cannot cope with problems. Sometimes children are very difficult. And when you're 90 and 100, mother is 90 and the father is 100, when you have them, you can imagine the kind of difficulties you have. But she went on. Sarah's faith was an example to other mothers. She went ahead with it. She believed in it. She wanted a better. She finally, you can imagine, being 90-some years old, looking back at your life and you say, all these years I wanted a baby. I now have it. And you know, your body has to have the power to produce the milk, to feed this baby, to nurse this baby, to take care of this baby. And what verse 12 say? Therefore, there was born even from one man, and him as good as dead at that time. He was as good as dead at that. As many descendants as of the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is upon the seashore. Notice that phrase, verse 12. Let's take a look at verse 11, because, you know, in the original there were no verses. Since she considered him faithful who had promised, therefore there was born. Therefore. There's always a therefore when you have faith. When you have trust in God and you believe God's word, there will always be a therefore. I trust God, therefore I received my promise. I believed, therefore I will receive salvation. I trust God, therefore. But you know, sin also has a therefore. Paul summed it up like this. Do not be deceived. This is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, from the flesh he will receive reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, therefore he will receive eternal life. So there's a therefore. There's a therefore to faith, and there's a therefore to sinfulness. That is lack of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so what's going to happen? As the stars in the heavens. She had this little boy. This little boy grows up. He's in his 20s. Abraham has to, you know, sacrifice him, and thinks he's going to sacrifice him. He's an only child to the two of them. And he now, what she didn't know inside this boy, he's going to marry Rebecca. Rebecca's going to have twins, Isaac and Jacob. The promise is going to move through Jacob, not Esau. I mean, not Isaac, Esau and Jacob. And it goes, Isaac has two twins, Rebekah has twins, and then it goes through Jacob. And then Jacob's 12 children. And so the genealogy continues the promise. But this beautiful woman, who always wanted a baby, she never got to see. And she never knew, but I know she believed it. She must have believed. My genealogy, believing here, there are going to be so many kids. There are going to be so many people coming as a result of this. And it all came about. All these people, as many as this number of the stars of the heavens in number, and as innumerable as the sand that is by the seashore. You know, faith is like that little grain of mustard seed Jesus talked about. If you had faith, you could produce so many. And from that one boy, many millions of people have come because of Sarah's power of faith. She believed. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability. But she never got to see it. But she died, I'm sure, believing. There's going to be these innumerable people, innumerable as the stars in the heavens, the sands on the seashore. A lesson, another lesson in faith in God's promises.